Everybody back here tonight for another hour of worship to our God. Just a quick announcement, this coming Saturday we're going to be door knocking, advertising our gospel meeting that's coming up next week. We invite everybody to attend that if you have, if you are able. That's going to be next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. We've got door hangers made up and we're going to get flyers that advertise our meeting and would love to see you there. Tonight, we're going to be doing our question and answer series, and we have two questions that are presented to us tonight, and we're going to attempt to briefly answer both of those. And those questions are up on the screen. You can see here. I'm going to read them. It says, the first one is, how do we know when God answers prayer? And the second question is, how do we know if God is testing our faith or if we are being chastised by God? Those are the two questions that we're going to dive into tonight. Now, first of all, before we're going to jump into the first one here that's at the top of the screen. But before we do that, I want to say that I think these are very good questions from a pure and an honest heart. But they're questions, I think, if we aren't careful, we can create very bad theology from if we try to give very specific black and white answers to questions such as these. So we're going to proceed forth with caution tonight and let the scriptures speak for themselves. So the first question, how do we know when God answers prayer? Now, first of all, I think it's helpful and beneficial to lay this foundation here and say that prayer, and I think we often think of prayer sometimes this way, but I think it's helpful to note that prayer is not a science. You know, sometimes I look at my prayer life the way that I view prayer. Sometimes me myself, I'm tempted to think that if I do it this way, if I pray in this certain way, then I'm going to get this certain result. A lot of people within the world have viewed prayer as almost like a science, and people have actually performed science experiments on prayer. There was a guy several years ago, actually, a doctor from L.A. He came up with an experiment of he gathered around 400 patients at a hospital or so and divided them into two categories, and one category of 200 people were being prayed for, and then the other group wasn't being prayed for, and he tried to follow the scientific method and analyze the data and come up with conclusions based upon that. But that's just simply when we look at prayer at face value, the way that prayer is presented within the scriptures, there's just too many variables. prayer is not a science in that sense. You can't conduct a science experiment on prayer. You can't experiment on prayer in a lab. You can't follow the scientific method and reproduce the same results each time and expect that the outcome will always be the same. So the question is, how do we know? How do we know when God answers our specific prayers? I don't think that a specific I think an answer can be given, but I don't think a specific answer can be given, because God has a mind and a will of His own, and His specific will, the Bible says, is oftentimes hidden from our view. Just to give an illustration, imagine if you had, a persistent disease, and you've been praying for it constantly, for that disease to be healed, and after a long while, nothing happens, and then maybe I was to say to you, well, God just hasn't answered you yet. God just, just wait a little while longer. And God will answer your prayer. You will receive an answer if you just wait. But in reality, behind the scenes, that I don't know, because I'm just a mere human being, I don't know specifically what God's doing. In reality, God in His wisdom and gracious nature, maybe He has answered your prayer. Not in the way that you were asking, that you were thinking, but by providentially allowing you to maybe carry the disease so that your heart may draw near in relationship to Him, and that you may become fully dependent upon Him. Maybe He's training you for something. Maybe He's helping you to grow closer to His heart in that way, which is very consistent in how He has worked in the past. Just a few verses here, Habakkuk 1:5. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Likewise, in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 26, Paul says, Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. So the mystery of the gospel, as Paul uses here and in other places within the New Testament, was in the hearts, in the mind of God, before the foundations of the world, and has now come to light upon the revealing of God's Son, Jesus Christ. God was doing a work behind the scenes that was beyond the scope of human comprehension in the moment. And the same, I believe, is true with us in our prayer life. Sometimes God's specific will and purposes for us are hidden from our view, and we can very easily create bad theology if we try to answer questions such as these very specifically. Just going back to the illustration that I used a moment ago, back to the disease illustration, what if I were to give a black and white answer to that scenario? What if I were to say, you will know when God answers your prayer to be healed when something happens, you know, when something physical happens to you. But really, in reality, God, you know, maybe He had something else in mind through the whole process, through the whole ordeal. If I said a black and white statement like that, I would be misrepresenting God, and I would be misrepresenting His purposes if I were to be specific in that regard. So that may not be very helpful, but hopefully this is someone that is asking this question. I think these are a few helpful points as we attempt to answer this. Sometimes when we pray and when we're seeking for an answer from God of that prayer, sometimes we know that God answers, of course. God answers prayer, period. Sometimes it's blatantly obvious. Not being too specific, but sometimes it just is. You know that God is answering your specific prayer. Just to give an illustration, an example, say I was praying for somebody to minister to. Say I was praying every day, God, please send me somebody in my life that I can bless, that I can preach the gospel to, that I can share my faith with and influence and encourage and uplift. And then all of a sudden, say, somebody comes along that is a perfect candidate for you to be a blessing to and to show the love of Christ to. I've had that happen to me many times where I'm praying that God would lead somebody to me. Please help me to be your ambassador, God. Please help me to influence somebody, to help somebody the way that you have helped me. And I look back on my life and I can see it's blatantly obvious after I pray prayers like that when God sends somebody my way, and I firmly believe that. Just another example, say you're praying that God may continue to change you, to transform you, to sanctify you into a person that reflects His image and bears His likeness. And slowly, over time, you can see your faith, your commitment, your loyalty grow stronger and stronger and stronger each day. It's blatantly obvious that God is answering your prayer in that scenario. Sometimes the answer is blatantly obvious. However, that's not always the case. Because it's more complex than that. Sometimes the answer is not so obvious. Just another example. Say that you're praying that God would say that you're single and you're praying that God would lead you to a spouse that will help you to grow, that will help you to mature, that will help you to get to heaven someday. And I'm just thinking there are a million ways that God could be responding to that prayer if one would pray that. God could be saying through a prayer like that, you know, wait a little while so that you can grow, so that you can mature. God could be saying, be patient because He has somebody in the future in mind for you. God could be setting up, you know, a meeting with you and your future spouse the very next minute after you pray that prayer. Or God could be saying, you know, I have some kind of grander purpose for you. Sometimes when we pray, the answer is just not so black and white. It's not as obvious. Likewise, sometimes when we pray, the answer is no. God said no to the Apostle Paul. Remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, Paul says this, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness.'" In this scenario, we see that God didn't give Paul what he asked for because God had a much larger purpose in mind. The Apostle Paul was a vessel that displayed the almighty power of God through his weakness, through the thorn in his flesh. God had something better planned for Paul, even though Paul prayed for something else. And then we can also say sometimes we pray and we think that he says no, but can see that he has answered us 20, 30, 40 years down the road as we look back in hindsight and we see how God was providentially working in our life and answering our prayers in a way that was just not visible within the moment, in the here and now. Sometimes that's, you know, I look at my life and my short existence in here on this earth, and I can just look back on my life and see how God has answered prayers 10 years ago that I had no idea in the moment that He was answering. God works that way, and sometimes that happens. Sometimes we can see the answer more clearly when we look back in the past, when we look back in hindsight. But the important thing to remember when we attempt to answer a question like this, the important thing to remember when we pray is that God does answer prayer. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes he says, wait a little while. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul says, and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we also know that James says in James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. When we pray in faith, knowing that God will answer not on my timing, not on according to my will, according to what I want, but on his timing and according to what he knows best, he will give us nothing but the ultimate best. And our job, as we pray and as we believe with all of our heart that God is working, our job is to trust. Our job is to lean on him, even though we may not be able to see specifically what he's doing in the moment. So let's look at the second question before we close tonight. How do we know if God is testing our faith or if we are being chastised by God? That's the second question. I'm going to make an assumption here through this question, and I apologize if this assumption is completely wrong. My bad, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm assuming that this person who's asking this question, you know, has suffered something, and they're wondering if God is, you know, testing their faith to make them stronger, to train them, to build them up, or maybe they're wondering if God is disciplining them, chastising them in some way because of something that they did, because of something that they did wrong in their life. I'm assuming that the person, you know, asking this question is wondering if their suffering is due to a sin that they have in their life. So on that basis, let me give you a few biblical principles. Biblical principle number one, God disciplines his children for their good. Look with me what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 6. The Hebrew writer says here, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So this text tells us that God's discipline is not just exclusively for those who sin. God's discipline rather comes to each and every one of his children, each and every one of his people, not to beat them down, not to give them what they deserve with a scornful, judgmental spirit, but he disciplines them so that they may grow, so that they may grow closer to him, so that their faith may become strong, and they may be spiritually mature. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. An exhortation to fathers that reflects the heavenly Father. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, earthly fathers are directed to discipline their children. This kind of godly discipline, it's not just a rebuke for wrongdoing. It's a constant loving kind of training. It's a constant state, not just when the child messes up and he deserves a whipping or a rebuke. This kind of discipline is a training discipline, a loving discipline. To discipline my children in this sense is to train them with every ounce of my energy to walk in the ways of the Lord and to see Him as more valuable than anything else, than anything that this world has to offer. Now, it does entail, of course, rebuke for wrongdoing, but that's not all this kind of godly discipline is. And this exhortation to fathers reflects the character and nature of God. This is exactly what God does to us as well. God does the same with His people. He disciplines them in various ways, both positive and negative ways, so that they may be trained and grow in Him, in relation to Him, in faith in Him, reliance upon Him, obedience to Him. Look at what the Proverb writer says in Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights." His discipline in and of itself is not a sign of His scorn or disdain over His children, but as this text says, His discipline is a sign that He loves His people. Discipline from the Lord, both positive and negative, is a blessing, is a good thing. It shows that He genuinely and sincerely cares for us. So, back to our question tonight, could God be disciplining me because of sin? Could that be a reality? Perhaps, yes, perhaps. But even this kind of discipline, this negative kind of discipline, isn't condemnation itself. It's for your benefit, so that you may turn and repent and know the Lord. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Even the negative kind of discipline you receive from the Lord is not for your harm. It's for your ultimate blessing, so that you may repent and know Him and know the fullness of joy that He brings. So, hopefully this will be helpful in attempting to answer this question and help this person. I would say to use this roadblock. Remember, I'm assuming that there's a roadblock. I apologize if that's completely wrong. But use this roadblock in life that you're presented with as a time for reflection. Reflect upon this, whatever it is that you're going through. But don't hastily jump to conclusions and think that your pain is directly caused by something that you have done wrong. Simply ask God to help you in this process and reveal if there is sin in your life. Ask Him, please help me to see this. Help me to see my wrongdoing. Help me to see my iniquity so that I can repent and know You and turn from my ways. Ask God. And always remember, never forget in any kind of question that we're struggling with, never forget the character of God. We see the full character of God through the cross of Jesus Christ. Always remember that God desires you to succeed by His standards even more than you do. Remember the character of God. If you humble yourself and draw near to Him, He will forgive, He will heal, He will restore and give you everything you need along your life's journey. Hope that helps tonight. Tonight, if I want to offer an invitation, if there's anything that anybody would like to pray for or about, if anyone's struggling with something, we invite you to come forward tonight. Also, if you don't know Jesus Christ, tonight is an opportunity for you to believe upon Him, repent of your sins, confess faith in Him, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, like the Bible commands us to do. If you have any need tonight, why don't you come forward as we stand and as we sing.